Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we, who have known the mystery of that light on earth, may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I have a good friend whose name is Chris. Chris lives in Texas with his wife and his two boys. He is a doctor, but what he really focuses on are his two sons. I see his Facebook posts almost every day, and it's Mark and Jack, or Jack and Mark, or just Mark, or maybe it's just Jack, but he is always taking pictures of those two boys. He adores them. He takes pictures of them eating breakfast, going to Boy Scout troop, playing in basketball games. They look like happy kids, but I think I've seen quite a lot of them lately. Last summer, Mark turned 11, and he decided that he had to go away to sleepaway camp in Missouri, of all places. So Chris said, "All right, I will send you to sleepaway camp." Mark was so excited, he couldn't wait to get there. They were going to have campfires, and they were going to ride horses, and it was going to be awesome. Well, Mark got to this camp, and he was totally miserable. Homesick. So homesick that he could hardly stand it. Every night, he wrote a letter to his dad. "Daddy, I'm so homesick that I can barely function. But I'm going to stick it out. Just don't be late to pick me up at the end of camp. Love, Mark." Chris was so nervous about going to pick up his son that he moved his plane flight a whole day earlier, just in case the plane was delayed or canceled. So he ended up flying to Missouri on Thursday instead of Friday, a good 24 hours before he was allowed to pick up his son. Chris got a rental car, stayed in a little hotel. The next morning, he had nothing to do, so he drove around the obscure little town in Missouri, ate at a diner, and ended up pulling up to the camp at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was supposed to pick his son up at 5. He pulled into the dirt parking lot, and in front of the road that led to the camp, there was a big rope with a sign attached to it that said, "Parents, you are not allowed to pick up your child until 5 p.m. Mark stood around and noticed that there were a couple of other parents already there, even though it was only 3:15. They made small talk. "Has your kid liked camp? How old is your kid? Boy or girl?" But they weren't really listening to each other. They were really looking down the dirt road in case someone came down. By about 4:30, there was a whole slew of parents, and they started kind of pushing each other. And Chris noticed that some of them were getting right up to the rope, and he decided he needed to be right up there so he could be one of the first to see his son. There was a lady who looked a little bit perturbed when he sort of bumped her, but he didn't care. It got closer to 5, and right about 5 o'clock, two counselors came, and they were smart enough not to stand in front of the rope because the parents were getting to be like some kind of stampede. They were really restless by this time. So the counselors got to the edges of the rope that was tied to two poles, and together they untied the rope and simply let it fall to the ground. And the parents were off. Chris is kind of overweight and out of shape, but he told me later that he was grateful that he wore sneakers because he found himself running. And he got this huge stitch in his side and he could hardly breathe, but all that he wanted to do was get to his boy. All he wanted to do was get to his son and bring him home. God feels the very same way about you. But God's desire to find you and bring you home is so much greater than Chris's. Chris got a plane flight and a rental car and a hotel. God, the maker of the universe, was willing to leave all of that, to constrict the divine self into human, finite form. Theologians for hundreds of years have pondered what it means for God, who created the universe, to limit the divine self in such a way. They call it kenosis, or self-emptying. St. Paul uses that word. This radical limiting of something infinite to become finite, material, to become a helpless baby. Do you understand what God has done to try to be with you? It is unfathomable. And why Bethlehem? If God could choose any time in all of world history to be born as human being, why would God choose to be born in the heart of the Middle East, in a land so violent that the ruler was willing to kill babies to make himself feel better? Why would God choose to be born to a family where the young mother has to travel great distances while she's pregnant? Can you imagine riding a donkey pregnant? I've had three boys, and that sounds like horrible. Why would God choose to be born in a country where the government is so heartless that they would force a young girl and her husband to move great distances when she's pregnant, just so they can be counted for tax purposes? And you know, many of us have heard the Christmas story over and over again, but some of it has become folklore. For example, I always thought that there was an innkeeper, right? You see him come out in the Christmas pageant. He says, "No room at the inn," right? The innkeeper. You guys know that person, right? There is no innkeeper in the Gospel of Luke. There is only one phrase. It says, "There was no space for them in the inn." But the word inn has been mistranslated. It really means guest room. There was no space for them in the guest room. They didn't really have inns in Jesus's time. Joseph and Mary would have been going back to Bethlehem because that's where his family was from. His cousins, his ancestors. He would have been knocking on the door of his relatives who were telling him that they had no room in their guest room for his pregnant wife and for him. This was not only a violent land, this was a cold land. Can you imagine turning away someone like that when you were related to them? I don't know about you, but I hope I'd try to make room. Why would God choose to be born into a place like that? When I lived in Kansas, I lived next door to a wonderful young family. But the little boy, when he was just 4 years old, was diagnosed with leukemia. And he had to fight for his very life. The treatments blinded him. And I'll never forget going out in the early morning to get my paper and seeing the boy's dad on the front lawn. And that man looked like death warmed over. He was absolutely exhausted and beyond grieving. And I said to him, "How are you?" And he said, "Kate, the worst part is that I can't make it better for my boy. I cannot cure him. He has to go through the treatments. He has to fight this disease. All that I can do is simply hold him, stay with him, tell him how much I love him. I can be with him, but I can't fix it." And that's what hurts worst of all. Do you know what I think Christmas is really about? I think it's about presents, and not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, not those kind of presents. I'm talking about P-R-E-S-C-E-N-C-E, the presence of God. Have you ever realized that when someone you love is in pain or struggling, that it doesn't work for you to try to fix it? It's taken me years as a priest. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to fix people's lives and then ended up making a worse mess. But gradually over the years, I've begun to realize that the only thing I can do and the best thing I can do is to simply be with someone when they're in pain. And that father, my next door neighbor, he was doing the right thing just by being with his son, by holding him. I think of my friend Chris running down that muddy road to his son, and God coming down to us, coming down into this violent and crazy world. Why? To be with us in our struggles. God was born in Bethlehem because Bethlehem was full of pain, and God wanted to be with us in our pain and in our struggles, not to fix it. For we don't learn anything when someone fixes our problems, but just to be with us, to be present. And if God is present in Bethlehem with that homeless couple, if God is present in the dirt being born with animals, then God is also present in Peshawar, Pakistan, when those children were killed in school. And God is present with those tiny Chinese girls who are abandoned just because they're girls. And God is present with you, not only in the good times, but when you're hurting, when you think that God must have abandoned you, that's when God is even more potently there. That's what it means that God came to us in this baby, just to be with you. After all, isn't God's name I Am? And maybe we should add the word here. I am here with you tonight. Merry Christmas. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world. We pray especially for the people of the Middle East. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of Him. Pray that they may find and be found by Him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. We remember especially Canon Betty Drake and Gary Keyes. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may be renewed in service to God. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Almighty God, we give you great thanks for limiting yourself so much to become born as a little child, for your presence with us. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad that you're here tonight. It is such a blessing to have you with us. We have some brochures about our church services. They are at 8, 9, and 11 on Sundays. And if you want to come to know God more, please come and join us. We would love to have you anytime. We also have a brochure about our music programs, and our choir actually performed at Canterbury Cathedral and Westminster Abbey this summer, and they are selling CDs of their music as you leave. So if you still need a couple things to put in the stocking, that's your last chance. Also, New Year's Eve, you know, in Jesus' time, the day began with sunset, as it still does for Jews today, which is why we celebrate Christmas Eve at sunset. Same is true of New Year's Eve. As the sun is setting at 5 p.m. on December 31st, we are going to be having a service of lessons and carols here at the cathedral, and you're more than welcome to begin your year with prayer and music. I want to invite all of you to come forward for communion. If you are a baptized Christian, hold your hands out for the bread, and you can guide the cup to your lips, or you can take the wafer and dip it in the cup. If you are from another faith tradition, or perhaps you are not sure what you believe, just cross your arms, come forward, and we'll bless you. And that's a good thing. It can't hurt, right? So we want everyone to come up to the altar. And one last piece of instruction. At the very end of communion, we are going to pass a flame. You all should have a candle that you were given. Does everyone have one? At the very end of communion, we will turn out all the lights and we'll sing Silent Night with only our candlelight. Walk in love as Jesus loved us, and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary, Joseph, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who in the Word made flesh, joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us bless the Lord.